Welcome to the WDW Reflections Podcast. Here, we'd love to talk about the Walt Disney World Resort, the way we remember it, how it's changed, and why we still enjoy visiting the most magical place on Earth. So come with us on a podcast journey as we reflect on the WDW Reflections Podcast.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the WDW Reflections Podcast, your unofficial guide through Disney World and all things Disney memories and their connections to the parks that we know and love today. I'm Dewey, one of your hosts, coming to you from my home in the bustling metropolis of Magnolia, Delaware, to which I will only be here about 1 year and 27 more days, fellas.
Wow, it's really counting down. I remember when it was ages.
Yeah, I'm ready for the countdown to get closer, though.
Yeah.
I have it on my phone, and it's actually 1 year, 1 month, 26 days, in case you're interested.
Wow. So you've got your chair reserved for it.
Few people. Yes.
Have you started submitting resumes?
I'm working on the resume. It's still a year, so I think it's a little early for that. I am revising and updating the resume because I've been at this job for 11 years, so I haven't really had to worry about a resume for a while. But we're already looking at property down there. We're, you know, lots of stuff. So it's starting to get exciting. It's starting to feel real. So anyway, only about what is that, 14 more months of life in Delaware for me. So every time we get together, you will hear that countdown, let me tell you. All right. So we thank y'all for being here with us. Before we get into this episode's main topic, we'd like to invite y'all to connect with us through the show's social media accounts. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at WDW Reflections Podcast, and on Twitter or X at WDW Reflections. And don't forget, for all things WDW Reflections Podcast, head on over to our website at WDWReflectionsPodcast.com. Alrighty, with that out of the way, let's get started with the show. With me today are my podcast travel buddies, Ron and Tony. So I normally say coming to us from Cleveland, Tennessee, is my good buddy Ron. But Ron is on the road again, doing his best Willie Nelson impression, visiting family, right, in the great state of North Carolina. So Ron, good to see you. Thanks for tuning in from in the middle of your travels.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of impromptu. We did an impromptu trip to Florida, which included a trip to Epcot, which is always fun to get to make that trip. Then we did an impromptu trip to Ohio. Got back from Ohio and did an impromptu trip to North Carolina, where my oldest and her husband live now, in Greensboro, North Carolina. So they're only 5 hours from us instead of 12. So good things there. So we can do these impromptus and weekend trips.
So before the show started, Ron and I were just chatting, and I believe I have convinced him to sell his home in Tennessee and buy an big, giant RV and live in that full time, because he's never home anyway.
Become a superstar and have a bus.
Absolutely. Your tour bus.
Yeah.
Yep. That was my plan. So I feel like there should be some sort of finder's fee or reward or something. I don't know how that works.
Not a bad idea.
My idea.
You do have me thinking. I even by buying a custom bus, I would still make money, I think, right now. And
absolutely.
How homes have increased in value.
No kidding. So that's good. I can't wait to see your new RV, Ron. All right. And then coming to us from the Big Apple, my buddy Tony G. What's up, Tony?
Hey guys, it's good to see you guys again. And I'm actually coming today for the people who can see the video, from the Millennium Falcon, because the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, I should say, keeping this in the Disney theme. Celebrating two things coming up within the time that the show is going to be posted, both Earth Day and Star Wars Day, probably by May 4th, we probably won't have a new show. So those of you who can see the video, I've got my little Earth Day Star Wars shirt on. But I also wanted to say really quickly, thank you to all of the people who have been watching our channel and keeping it going and growing. We've seen a lot of interest from folks out there, and I've been sharing a lot of still a lot of ride footage from our trip to Disneyland last year. And you guys are responding pretty nicely to that. Still have tons more of that to share. And I mentioned not too long ago that we were going to have a little contest here on our show for to celebrate our passing 100 subscribers, which we actually did, and we surpassed it. But we'd like you to continue to subscribe. If you're new to the show, please do so. And there's going to be a post where we'd like you to just comment on that post if you'd like to have a chance at subscribe at winning a special little prize that we have for you here today. And we'll have more details on that in that video post. But for now, keep an eye on our YouTube page and listen to our show on Spotify, Apple, whatever. We're out there. Let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about.
And you know what, Tony? In spirit of that, since the last episode that we recorded, we actually started a new WDW Reflections podcast TikTok page,
Oh, that's
where
right.
we
They may not
share.
have it for long, but
unless they, close it, but so I guess we're a little late to the game. But make sure you go check us out. We're at WDW Reflections Podcast, and many of the videos that we share on YouTube and stuff, those are the full length videos. We chomp those down to 30 seconds to a minute or so. Instagram has reels, and then TikTok has these real quick clips. You want to just go and check us out for a few seconds, then check us out on TikTok also. So that's new. So we're playing around with that a little bit too. So that's kind of fun. All right, so fellas, we've got all of the introductions, we've got all the advertisements for our show. So what do you say we go ahead and start reflecting on this week's WDW Reflections podcast? So this week we're going to get back to one of our favorite segments, something we haven't done in a while. We call this the Triple R Challenge. By now, if you've been listening to the show, you've definitely heard us frequently use the phrase, or have you seen us post on social media, the hashtag refurbish, not replace. And that's in regards to Disney's unfortunate habit of destroying an attraction in order to create a new one in its space. So with that in mind, we've come up with a new kind of episode that we're calling the Triple R Challenge: remain, refurbish, or replace. Those are the three R's. When we tackle one of these episodes, we're going to put on our Imagineer hats, select a Walt Disney World attraction, and we're going to make the big decisions for the future of the park and answer the big question: should that attraction remain as it is? Should it be refurbished? Or should it be completely replaced? So last time we played the Triple R Challenge, we went with Magic Kingdom attractions. So today we're going to hop on the monorail and we're going to scoot over to Epcot. And Tony has taken all the attractions that are currently available at Epcot, and he's put them on the big wheel. And we're going to spin the wheel. And right now, we have no idea what attraction is going to be discussed for the Triple R Challenge today, but we are about to find out. So, Ron, you look worried.
I'm a little worried.
All right, Ron looks worried. All right,
Only
Tony.
because my favorite ride is on this list, and I'm not looking forward to hearing what Dewey's going to say.
Oh my gosh. Now this is completely random. We have no control over the big magic wheel, but I sure hope Mission Space is the one we land on. I want to see Ron sweat. All right, Tony, take it away, my friend. Well, let's see what the big magic WDW Reflections podcast wheel has to say.
Okay, we're gonna click to spin it. Do you want to say what's on there, Dewey?
So let's see. We've got Mission Space, Test Track, Cosmic Rewind, Living with the Land, Soarin', The Seas with Nemo and Friends, Turtle Talk, Grand Fiesta Tour with the Three Caballeros, Frozen Ever After, American Adventure, Spaceship Earth, Journey into Imagination with Figment. Those are all the attractions from Epcot that are on the wheel. We left off the movies, like the Impressions to France and the two Circle Vision 360 movies. Those we didn't feel like were really a refurbishment for one of those is just new film footage. So not really exciting. So that's what we decided to do. Leave off the movies. And we're going to those that I just listed. That's what we're spinning on the big magic wheel of wonder.
All right. Here we go. And one of you yells stop, or will it stop by itself? We'll find out now. Ready? Click the spin. We have a winner. It's Frozen Ever After.
All right, Ron. So looks like Mission Space has received a stay of execution from the governor. Your attraction is safe. So on today's Triple R Challenge featuring the attractions at Epcot Center, we are going to discuss the future, the fate of Frozen Ever After over there at the World Showcases Norway Pavilion. So, what do you want? You fellas want to start off? Who wants to start? Somebody, one of you have strong feelings about Frozen Ever After? First of all, let's go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I never got to ride it yet, but I've seen lots of footage from it, so I know what it's. I know what the experience is.
Okay.
Because it was something that was added literally probably like months after the last time I was there. Do I think it should be refurbished, replaced, or let me think here. I would like to see it somewhat refurbished with real animatronics, not those video faces that they use. Because I've seen a lot of footage where the video breaks down and they've got blank faces on the characters and
that's pretty spooky.
It is kind of spooky. But on the other hand, we've said before, this ride has nothing really to do with a real country. So it's kind of out of place there. I think the Frozen joy or euphoria in the country has kind of been died down since 2012 when it came out. And it probably at this point can be replaced with something that more has something to do with Norway. How's that?
I think so. If you were going to, first of all, let's say which one of those are you saying? You're saying refurbish.
I say it's time to replace it. I was gonna say refurbish it, but I think it's time to replace it with something similar to what it originally was. I think I would rather see that. I'd rather see that part of Epcot still represent what the countries were back in the day.
So I'm trying to think. I think this opened in probably 2017, 2018, something like that. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, it may be older than that. Because Universe of Energy closed in 2017. So either way, Frozen Ever After.
Of 16.
2016. Okay, very good. So less than 10 years.
It took them 2 years to build that, though. It closed in 14.
Yes. I knew it was something close. I couldn't remember if it was slightly before or slightly after Universe of Energy closed. So I knew it was around there. So 2016 is when it opened. So, Tony, it's less than 10 years old. We're looking at an 8-year-old attraction.
Well, I would love to see it. I mean, I would like to see it before they do anything to it. But I kind of miss what the Maelstrom was. I know they're never going to do that again. But how about creating something that's much more exciting? I mean, I don't know. I guess it could stay with the theme of Frozen if they're going to continue to put the IP in the park. But it's not a real place, so I don't know. I'm mixed on this one. I would like to see it replaced with something more exciting, but at the same time, I never got to see it, so I don't know how much of my comment is valid here.
I too didn't see it. The lines were extremely long this last visit. So, which by the way, we broke down and bought both FastPass and, or I'm sorry, what's it called? Lightning
Genie Plus.
Genie Plus. We didn't end up buying. We were going to try to buy a Lightning Pass to go on Guardians again. It's worth that to us. It would have been worth being able to buy a Lightning Pass. One thing about a Genie Pass for way off topic. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's okay. Back to
the topic. But just real quick, I thought Genie was a Fast Pass. Or I'm sorry, I thought Virtual Queue was basically a Fast Pass. A Virtual Queue is not a Fast Pass. Uh-huh. It is the opportunity to stand in a 2-hour line.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Virtual Queue is basically a lottery to stand in line. So you don't get to just stand in line for the new attractions. You have to win a spot in the line. It's insane. It is. And maybe we should do a show on this sometime, but if I were in charge, the way you fix Disney is a fifth gate or more attractions in each park, because right now the lines some days are unmanageable. You cannot navigate the parks because of the lines. And for the prices that these people are paying for these attractions or for these tickets to get in and can't get on attractions is darn near criminal.
Yeah.
So
don't disagree. We paid, I don't even want to talk about one day at Disney and what it cost me. So I'll come back to the happier place and talk about the attractions we're talking about.
Yes. Well, let's do a show on that sometime and talk about maybe how to fix some of those issues, because, the fact that you bought the Genie Plus and it was virtually useless to you.
It was, we got to use it on one ride.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Not okay. So anyway, back
just as a quick digression, why don't we, after we're done with Triple R Challenge, we'll ask Ron about his trip a little bit.
That's a good idea.
That's fine.
Good idea.
So Frozen, I didn't ride it because we just didn't, it was on my list to do and we just couldn't get to it. But I don't know. I think I know you and Tony kind of get frustrated with all the IP. To me, one of the things that made Disney to me is that Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, had all the IP, you know, Mickey Mouse, Goofy, and that was what made it exciting. So I'm thinking that for a child, or, you know, to still get excited about Disney has to rely on their IP to make it appealing to children. And I know that some kids can be history buffs and really like a less IP environment for the worlds, but the worlds to me were lacking a Disney-ness feel. So I think I don't know what's the options, replace, refurbish.
Remain, refurbish, or replace.
So I think I can't imagine after 8 years that they do maintenance. So I can't imagine it would need too much refurbishment. So I would just keep it. Remain. So
you're going to let it remain.
Yeah.
Going to let it remain. So Tony says refurbish and return it back to something more closely associated with
the country of Norway.
Yeah, I said replace.
Oh, you said replace. Yeah. Oh, completely replace. My bad. So Tony's going to replace it, get back to Norway.
Because I think at this point, there's plenty of Frozen in other places around the parks.
I don't disagree that Frozen is not my favorite Disney IP by far. It's Let It Go.
Wow. I see what you did there.
We're sorry for all you Frozen fans out there. It's not anything personal, but
yeah, not at all. And these little girls that love to sing that is all about it. So I can see why Disney would want that and why they have it, and I'm not opposed to it. So
let's see. We've got one replace, we've got one remain. So I'm going to split the difference. I'm going to say refurbish. So, look, I'm not naive. I know that Disney spends a lot of money making these movies and trying to, and the movie business is really not booming nowadays, right? So, not as many people are actually going to the theaters, and movies that you think are going to be blockbusters, like Indiana Jones last year, kind of flopped, and the Marvel movies are kind of getting kind of stale. You know, people aren't going to see them as much as they were. So making these movies is a little bit of a risk. And I understand that Disney needs to profit off of these, making a movie is an investment and they need to have it in the parks. I get that. I'm not naive. I know that ultimately Disney is a business. They're not, in case y'all didn't know, they're not actually there just to make me happy. That's not their end game. They're making money, right? So I'm not naive to all of that. So, and I'm not completely against IPs in the parks. IPs have always been in the parks. I mean, the castle is Cinderella's castle, for goodness sakes. It's always IP in the park. But there has to be, it has to make sense. You know what I mean? It has to make sense. It doesn't make sense to have Guardians of the Galaxy in Epcot, because that's not what the mission of Epcot was. Frankly, Epcot really doesn't have a theme, doesn't really have a mission, doesn't have a cohesive story. That's gone. I guess the story of Epcot is we don't have one. So it's all about the IP. But I'm begging you, Disney, I'm begging you. It's got to make sense. So I'm not opposed to IP in the parks. And I'm not opposed to the characters from Frozen telling the story about Norway. I mean, we can pretend. They don't ever actually say Arendelle. I guess Arendelle is its own country or something in this make-believe world. Doesn't matter. As far as the ride is concerned, why don't we just pretend Arendelle is in Norway? They're clearly based on Norwegian culture and customs and the way they speak and the way they dress. It's all Norwegian influenced, right? So lean into that. Tell the story of Norway with the Frozen characters,
I like what they did with Gran Fiesta, where they incorporated the Three Caballeros telling the story of Mexico.
100%. I have no problem with that. Even though technically one of them's from Brazil, but we're not going to get into that today. that minor detail. And I guess Donald Duck's American. So
yes, yes.
Only one of the three caballeros are actually, Mexican. We're close. But so if we can do that, then why can't we have Olaf and I don't even know, do snowmen have citizenship? I don't know how that works. So Olaf could be Norwegian. We don't know. But have Olaf and
have them tell the story of
Elsa. Have them, hey, Olaf in his dopey voice can be like, you're not the first one who passed this way. I don't care. That's fine. Olaf can do that. It doesn't have to stay the same. I'm trying to be less of that grumpy old man about stop changing my park. I'm trying not to be that. I'm okay with change. I understand they have to get new people in and keep bringing people back, and they have to change and evolve. And even Walt Disney himself said, you know, Disneyland will never be finished. And, you know, that's great. I have no problem with that. But it's gotta make sense. It just has to. Otherwise, the park is lost. The park has no cohesive theme. And that's where we're at right now.
Well, I think that, to your point, Dewey, I don't think Epcot is what, if you would have been with Walt Disney and as he's on television explaining what Epcot was going to be, and you woke him up in 2024 and took him around Epcot, is not, he'd be like questioning a lot of activities, right? Because it's not that.
Absolutely.
So, I hear you from that perspective, absolutely.
And look, I'm not even saying, Epcot is my all-time favorite park. One of my most treasured items is this Epcot Center ashtray. I don't even smoke. I've never smoked, but I love this thing. It stays on my desk, right? I am an Epcot, I guess you could say, fanatic. I just love it. I absolutely love it. Epcot Center is my favorite. And even with that knowledge and that information, I'm not saying that Epcot Center had to stay exactly the same. And I'm not saying that it should have stayed Future World and World Showcase. And I'm not saying it had to stay Edutainment like it was back in the day. I'm not saying any of that. Now, if it was still that, I would probably be the happiest kid on earth. But I'm not saying it has to be that. What I'm saying is, I don't care what it is. Whatever you decide, Disney, listen up. Whatever you decide, Epcot is. I don't care what it is. But decide what it is and then make it that. Because Epcot was the future. It was edutainment. You went and you learned something and you laughed and you sang along to the songs, and every pavilion had a logo. It was cohesive. Everything made sense. Nothing makes sense now.
Not like the world is today. Nothing makes sense.
Right. Well, I'm not a fan of that either. Don't get me started, Ron. But it just doesn't make sense. Like, the world neighborhoods. Okay, great. World Showcase, that one, that makes sense. Because you want to know why that makes sense? Because they did change it. But the other neighborhoods, World Nature. Okay, so we built the fountains and call it Moana. And then you've got fish and plants. Okay, not real sure how Figment fits into World Nature, but okay, he's over there. And then, it just doesn't make sense. And what does Guardians of the Galaxy have to do with anything? I don't even know.
It's an awesome ride.
It's a great ride. Listen, I loved that ride. It's amazing. And it would be, I know I've said this 100 times. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've said it. It would be perfect in the studios.
Oh,
pick it up, put it in the studios, boom, magic, perfect. But what does it have to do? It has nothing to do with the old theme of Epcot, for sure. You're not learning anything. But what does it have to do?
I'm being facetious, but
yes, no, it's not. It's fake. It's not real. It's make believe. So that's okay. It doesn't have to teach you anything. That's not the theme anymore. So what is the theme? Tell me how it fits in to the world neighborhoods that we're doing. We got World Showcase. We've got the World Nature. I don't even remember what the other one is. What's the other one? I can't even remember what it is because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's my thing. It just has to make sense. And right now,
you're saying refurbish it to something that makes sense.
Yes. Make it make sense. Make me understand why Arendelle, characters from Arendelle, from Frozen, are in a pavilion meant to teach us about the country on Earth called Norway.
So I've not seen it. And so currently it's just retelling the story of
that's it.
Movie.
That's it. It's just the story, which is great. It's a great movie. I loved Frozen. And the ride is fantastic. I really enjoy the ride.
Oh, wow.
But it has nothing to do with Norway. it has nothing to do with Norway. It could be in any other country. Let's put it in Japan. Why not? And Olaf can eat some sushi. Like, it just, that doesn't make sense either, does it?
Well, it does kind of a little bit, to your point. I mean, they are Norwegian.
Are they?
You agreed to that.
Nope.
I'm using your words.
Norwegian influence. The costumes take, you know, from Norwegian patterns and, you know, sewing, you know, the way that they've done it for hundreds of years in Norway. But make it make sense.
You need to let it go.
I can't. I can't let it go. You sound like my wife. She tells me that all the time. Just let it go.
Well, I mean, I honestly, not let it go completely, but because I think it's one, I think it's neat how passionate you are about Epcot and what it was, but they're obviously not, they're just making it an amusement park, and it's all about getting people in that park. And I think that's why you see Guardian in Epcot, is because they have a couple mainline attractions, but they've not had a new attraction in some time. And you've got Animal Kingdom that had a new attraction. You've got Magic Kingdom that has new attractions. And now that I'm thinking, though, has Studios had, do they have a new attraction?
I guess the newest one would be Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yeah, but that's not like a.
That's what,
one that's going to have you come
4 years,
to,
yeah.
Come into the gates. Well, Star Wars is there, so they do, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So now you've got Epcot with a major new ride.
Okay, that's great. Make it make sense.
Fair enough. I'm just
make it make sense. That's it. Make it make sense.
It definitely didn't. I agree with you. Guardians does not fit in that theming.
But. Make it make sense. Like, so I literally had to look it up because I didn't remember what the other neighborhood was. I looked it up while you were talking. It's World Discovery. Okay. So we've got, and that side is Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, Mission Space, and Test Track. What are we discovering there? Chevrolet makes automobiles, you know? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. At least when it was called Future World, then they could tell me that the future of automotive technology is here. Okay, great. That's the future. And the future is, you know, traveling to the stars. And that's what Mission Space is. Okay, great. That's the future. Like, I can put that together. I can make it make sense. But tie Cosmic Rewind and Test Track and Mission Space together somehow. You can't. It just doesn't make sense. And, you know, I go back to my original statement. I don't mind Disney putting IP in the parks. And I don't mind them putting Frozen in Norway, because I can draw that connection. I can see Elsa's dress be like, that looks Norwegian. I can see that.
Okay? And the trolls, so, and all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very good. Yeah, that definitely takes from Norwegian fairy tales and myths and all that stuff. So lean into that. I've seen the movie. I have a daughter who in 2012 was six. So I have seen Frozen 382,000 times. I don't need you to show me Frozen again. I mean, people without TVs have seen Frozen. Okay. Everyone has seen Frozen. I don't need you to retell the story. But you know what I would like to see? I would like to see in the Norway pavilion something about Norway. I know that's crazy. So
A little crazy.
Disney, Question: what do they do? It do they still do they still? I know they refer reach. I know they changed the direction in which you go into the attraction from what it used to be. But what I remember, the old attraction used to get off of the Maelstrom and you'd see a movie. What do they do now? Is there still a movie there as well?
movie's gone.
Movie's
There is
gone.
no theater. The queue for the attraction is really, really well done. You look like you are outside. It looks like you're outdoors and you're just kind of walking around. And you guys have seen the movie Frozen, right?
Sure.
You know the where they go to buy the all the gear
Yeah.
from
Oh,
I can't
yeah.
remember that guy's name. So you
Sven or
go you
something.
hmm?
Was it
No,
Sven?
Sven is the reindeer.
Oh.
I can't remember the name of the guy, the great big guy.
Yeah, I see the guy in my face, but.
He owns the little shop where you can buy, Norwegian skis and sleds and stuff. You walk through his little store and he's behind the counter and he's like trying to sell you stuff and everything. The queue is really well done. I have zero complaints about the attraction. Except all it is a retelling of the movie that I've seen 1 billion times, and it has nothing to do with Norway. So, Disney, I'm begging you, refurbish this attraction and keep them. Keep the characters of Arendelle, that's fine. But let them tell me about Norway.
And make them real animatronics this time.
Yes, you can improve that. Look, we're getting the real animatronics on Tiana,
Yeah.
so it does seem like maybe for the first time in forever, right? I'm going to sing
Oh my gosh. I can see why
her.
you teach.
Yes, I don't teach chorus. The first time in forever, they're investing some money into Walt Disney World, so we're getting the state of the art animatronics that Tokyo Disneyland gets all the time. Because
I mean,
Disney doesn't pay
it
for
was a
that.
neat idea, but if you can't keep the motions consistent and the screens go blank, you're going to freak out little kids.
And even when they're working, they're like whitewashed. They
Yeah.
look kind of
You know it's projected.
strange. Yes. So, I'm begging Disney, please redo this ride. Elsa can tell me all about the oil rigs in Norway, and Anna can tell me all about polar bears. I'm okay with that. But it's got to be about Norway. It's got to make sense. So that is my answer. I am saying refurbish Frozen Ever After and make it a story about Norway.
So we had, it seems like we had a vote for each, and we'd like to know, what do you folks out there think about this? What is that one of your favorite rides? Are we off base here? Let us know in the comments what your feelings are about that.
And if you think it's perfect and it should not be touched. Okay, that's great. Sell me. Tell me why. Tell me why. I would love to hear from you guys, but and I'm sure there's a lot of people that absolutely love this attraction.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, clearly Ron couldn't even get on it. The line was so long. So clearly people love it. But I would change it if I were Bob Iger for a day. I would change it. All right, so that was fun. That is the latest edition of the Triple R Challenge. This time we tackled some attractions in Epcot. So next time
We
we
got to
play.
hear Grumpy Dewey again.
Hey, no, I was not grumpy. This is the new open-minded Dewey. I'm okay with
Wow,
change.
that's
I'm okay
open-minded.
with.
We have, wow.
Right, I'm evolving, Ron. I'm evolving. I'm becoming a better man. That's the
Hey, I
goal.
got to, we're going to talk about that, so never mind.
Well, hey, why don't we just talk about it right now? So we'll end this segment. Boom, that's the end of the Triple R Challenge. And so, Ron, we did do an episode a few weeks ago. We called in, you called
Yeah.
in to the show, and just got a few updates and kind of told us how your morning was going. But
Live
is
from
there,
Epcot.
right, live from Epcot? That was fun. So, but you had the rest of the day. That was in the morning when we spoke, and you went and enjoyed Epcot for the rest of the day. So, What do you have some other things you'd like to share with us about your one day Epcot extravaganza?
Yeah, it's one, we got to ride Galaxy. Oh my gosh. If you've not rode it, don't go out there and watch video. Wait until you get to ride it because it is amazing. Because it's worth all of the anticipation. It's worth not knowing about the ride to ride it firsthand.
I agree with you, Ron. I did just that. I didn't watch any videos about it when I the first time. So only thing I knew about it was I knew the song choices. I knew there was a reference to I think Horizons. I think in the beginning when you're going through the queue, Star-Lord says something about I want to ride the Horizons or something.
Yeah.
That's literally all I knew about it. And I knew that the coaster like spun. You spun around. That's it. That's all I knew.
You
And
knew more than I did. I
That
mean,
was almost nothing.
yeah.
So I agree with you 100%. Not knowing and then going in and experiencing it was amazing.
It's definitely so incredible. But, and yeah, we already talked about, or was that during the recording that we talked about virtual queue is not a fast pass. It's just the
The opportunity to stand in line.
opportunity to stand in a 2 hour line.
A
Yes,
2 hour line.
Oh, it was at least 2 hours.
those of you that have not experienced the virtual queue yet, basically, you can't just walk up to a new attraction at Disney World and just get in line. That's not how it works anymore. It's they're
New
so
attraction meaning anything made in the past 10 years?
Right. Yeah. No. Typically, it's about a year
A
or
year.
so. I think Tron might still be using the virtual queue, and I guess so is Guardian. So maybe
Yeah.
it's more than a year.
The Guardians is, so is, I didn't know about Tron because we didn't go there, but isn't the Star Wars Galaxia still using virtual?
I don't think they're doing virtual queue on Rise of the Resistance anymore.
Oh, okay.
I think it's regular standby line.
Gotcha.
But so maybe I shouldn't say new attraction. Maybe to be more accurate, I should say pop more most popular attractions
But the reason I
because
was surprised is because when we rode Rise of Resistance and we got the virtual queue, we walked onto that ride. And so when I
oh,
got to
really?
Galaxy, or I'm sorry, I'm getting
Guardians.
Guardians, I was not expecting to wait. I was expecting to walk on. And when we waited, I'm like, okay, we're gonna wait a little bit. And then we waited 45 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm over this. And then we waited another hour and 15 minutes. I was like, this is better be good, or I'm gonna be really upset. And it was really, really good.
How long did you end up waiting? Was it
Two
2 hours?
hours.
It was 2 hours. That's look when you've got an 8 or somewhere between 8 and 12 hours, depends on park hours and time of year
Yeah.
and everything and what time you get up. But when you've got 8 to 12 hours in a park and you spend 2 of those hours in line for one attraction, that is a big problem. That's
It is a bit, yeah. I mean, you only have, I mean, even if you get there when the rope drops and close, you're still looking at best. I'm trying to remember what time they opened that day. It seems like they opened at 9.
9 is typically when Epcot opens, and then it
Okay.
closes at 9.
Yeah,
Then 9 o'clock, you get to
yeah.
see the, now it's Luminous, but you get the show starts at 9, and the attractions close. Unless you're already in line at 9 o'clock, you can't get in line for anything after that. So you can get in line at 8:59, but.
Which, and then they make sure that, yeah, and then they finish, you ride till the end. They
Yes.
get everyone through the line.
But Epcot's posted hours are 9 to 9. That's 12 hours. And you spent 2 of those in line for one attraction.
Yep.
That's, and if you think about it, if you were going to head over to Test Track, you're going to wait in an hour for that. If you're going to go do Frozen, you're going to wait an hour and probably 90 minutes for Frozen. You know,
So we walked in and made our way around, and it, to your point, the entrance is a lot different than what I remembered. You used to be able to look, seems like you could just look down from Spaceship Earth right down this big corridor. You'd see the buildings on the left and on the right, and then you could even, it seems like maybe you couldn't, but you could see a long way down. Seems like you could even see all the way down to Mission Space. Maybe you couldn't, but now you can't. It's pretty much you have to make a choice and direction, and you go, it has some really nice paths, and it's very lots of landscaping has been completed and stuff, and it's really nice. And we made it, we
1, 2, 3.
played in the water with Milana for a little bit. That's a fun attraction, especially if you have kids that really like that movie. What we just kept thinking to our granddaughter, who absolutely loves that. And you can make water rise and fall. You can stomp on something and it makes more water do something. They have the big Milana Island where she has become overlooking the ocean. It's a fun thing that was not crowded when we were there, so we really could enjoy it. Now, if it gets crowded, it's set up in a way that you've got several stations for several kids, but if it could get backed up pretty easily.
How long did you
I'm
stay in that
sure.
space?
I'm sorry.
How long did you stay in that space?
Few minutes, probably 15. We probably stayed longer than what we probably would have thought we would have stayed in it for sure. Because some of the technology and stuff, it's not just putting your hands in water. You can break the flow of water to play music, so you kind of take time doing that to see if you can play a song or not. And it's just really well done. So, and we went to Nemo's and Friend, and then we went to Soarin'. So we got a lot, kind of. Then it started getting crowded because we called you guys, and it probably was 10:30 at that point, if I'm recalling correctly. And you could tell it was going to be a busy day. And when we got to Soarin', the line was 45 minutes, I think. And Melissa's like, "We're not going to do anything if we don't buy a genie pass." And I'm like, "I don't want to buy genie." And she's like, "We need to buy genie." And so we bought it. So we used it on Soarin' right then. So we tracked out of the line, which was probably a poor decision because we probably were closer than what we realized to getting on the ride. So we used it on Genie and we used it on Mission Space, and that's it. Because everything else had you can because you only have one pass at a time. As soon as you use it, you can go and reserve another one. But if you can see that it keeps getting later, 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 and by the time we were able to sign up for something, nothing was available to be signed up for.
Was
And
it
even if it
expensive?
was, it would be like Figment or something that you
Yeah,
wouldn't.
something you really don't even want. And so, like, I thought, well, we'll go ride Soarin' again. That'll be fun. Oh, nope, you can only use it once.
Was it expensive the day that you used it? I know they have a changing pricing
Oh, they
thing
do.
going
I
on.
didn't realize that. I really don't recall what it was.
You probably blocked that out of your mind
I
because it
do.
would cause you
Anytime I get to
trauma.
Disney, I'm shell shocked. And then I drink the juice and everything. Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. And then I get out from being in the park and I'm like, what did I do? Because I get the bill.
Yeah, you'll be
Yeah.
73 when you pay off that trip on your credit card, right?
Dude, seriously, if you go to Disney for one day, you're crazy. You really, it's not the wisest financial decision you'll make. If you're going to go to Disney and if you're going one day, that's fine, right? If that's all you want to do. But if in your mind you're thinking, we really should plan a trip and go 5 days, you're right. You really should plan that trip and go 5 days, because one day is going to cost you $200. 5 days is going to cost you $300. I mean, it's probably not that significant, but it's you save by going more and more days. Now you're also eating overpriced food and buying overpriced souvenirs that whole time, but at least you got money to do that versus just handing them the money.
And at least this year, they're doing the dining plans again.
The dining plan.
Well, I mean, that's by design too. They want you to spend more days there, so that you know you get discounts the longer you stay.
Yep.
But did you do anything? So you said you guys rode Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
So we
tell us about that.
So we rode Mission Space, which Mission Space definitely needs some refurbishment. Some of the buttons don't light up anymore, and I don't know, it could use just a little bit of refurbishment, but it was still an excellent ride. Loved every second of it. Got to ride it with some people that had not rode it before and talk about it and just enjoy it. So that was fun. And then we also ate dinner. It was a late lunch at Space. Now I can't remember. Is it
Space 220? Oh yeah, how was that?
It was very good. The food was good. They play the parts. You really feel like you could be in space. And you take it. What the fun thing? I don't know if it's fun, but for me it was fun. They use an old Disney trick of riding an elevator to nowhere, and so you see Earth get smaller, so you have a video that's below and above, so that you're riding an elevator that's built to space, and it was fun. It's some creativity.
And how was the visual? Was it realistic looking?
It was realistic, and they even had it was very, very quiet. I mean, it was well done. They have some neat but I will say what you see is what you get. There's not a lot more activity. I mean, you're eating in front of a screen that looks like you're in space.
Did you get to spot Mickey? Did he pop in?
Mickey did not show, and he's not on the video either. But there is a dog, which was cool.
I know there's a dog that's flying through space. I thought there was Mickey or something, or maybe a hidden Mickey. I can't remember.
Oh, maybe there is, but we didn't
see. I think it. I'm not 100%.
The food is pretty. If I remember correct, it's pretty much you order, and what you order is set. You get, and the appetizers, there really was not an appetizer that was appealing to me. And the waitress was creative and put something together, because it's like you pay one price and you can pick from certain menus, and you can switch things in and out, but you get an appetizer, you get your main course, and you get a drink, or no, the drink's not included for that one price. And so the waitress was really creative and helped me get an appetizer that I think what happened is she gave me fries as an appetizer and gave me mashed potatoes or something with my meal. But I remember it being good.
I've heard the food's really good in there.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to share about your day at Epcot? Or is that pretty much
We did get covered? To do Wyrmies, which I thought was really good. It was shut down a lot. So we'd go and it would be shut down. And one time we stood in line for quite a bit of time. And it worked out well, because then they gave us a free lightning pass to it. And we could have used that lightning pass on anything, but Melissa really wanted me to see Remy. And So we held out and it opened and we got right on.
Yeah, that one is fun. It's not my favorite, but it's fun. I enjoyed it.
And then the show at the end
Did y'all
is
watch Luminous?
we did.
Okay, we didn't talk about that.
We really enjoyed it. It's kind of, I will say, because the whole day they've got this big eyesore in the middle of the lake in my, it's because it's where everything shoots off from, and so it's not like, seems like they used to have a barge that came in. It didn't seem like it sat in the lake. I could be wrong.
So for Reflections of Earth, there was barges that they brought in, and I think they still do that to some extent. But for Harmonious, there was that giant Stargate-looking loop. Looked
Yeah, I
like
never
the
saw that one, so I
it looked
didn't.
like the Super Loop at the State Fair. That's what it
Oh,
looked like. And that was I Luminous is big, but it's much smaller than that giant Harmonious circle. So I think you can still see over it and you can still see the American Adventure,
you
right?
can.
Yeah.
It's not, I shouldn't say it's not a terrible eyesore, but if you are into more wanting to see more, I don't know how to describe it, but it just is a big black block in the middle of the
Yes.
sun that just kind of, when it's day, sitting there just is pretty obnoxious. But
So
the show overall, because it has fireworks, it has water, it was, we really enjoyed it, and they still have the torches around the lake that I just enjoy it when, because when the show's starting and they just start the fires all around the lake.
yes, that's I love the walking around World Showcase around dusk with the lanterns or the torches is really cool.
It was a good trip. It was a lot of fun. And we ended the day. Well, I was sad that we got to see the lights on Epcot, but they were all white. They didn't do, I was hoping to see a show with music, but we didn't see that.
You mean
Yeah,
on
do you
Stage of
have to
Earth?
be there at the right time?
Yeah. I just thought, which I knew that, but I thought they, once it started, they just kept doing it every so often, but
Oh, okay.
they don't.
All
So,
right.
yeah, it was good. Enjoyed it.
Right, guys. So, we hope you don't mind that little side path we took there off of the normal show. It's not real often that one of us gets to go and enjoy the park. So when we do, we like to talk about it and kind of give you some of our thoughts on some of the new things we've seen and stuff, especially coming out of the pandemic. There was a several years where none of us went to the park. So when we do get to go and enjoy the parks again, we like to share that with you guys. So Ron, we enjoyed the live call a few weeks ago, and
Yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun getting to do that. I'm looking forward to the day, like I said, where we get to do it with all three of us.
absolutely. Getting the three of us together in the park is going to be pretty amazing. It'll be easier once I live there, and then I'm going to be coaxing you guys to move down there with me eventually. That'll be my next mission.
Speaking of missions, Dewey, we've been talking about over the past couple of months that you have been taking a supplement to help you get through your days. And I was just reminded of that when we were talking about the energy that it takes to go through these parks in a day. So, how's that been going?
So you're referring to my little magic elixir that's called Magic Mind, and I guess I've been taking these for, gosh, probably close to 2 months now, and I got to tell you that now if you go to the magicmind.com and read about it, you'll read all kinds of health benefits that it has for you, and I got to tell you that I've been feeling much better, much more focused and all of those things. But one thing that I don't think I've told you guys before is that it does all that stuff. It does boost my energy. It does, give me that focus and that decrease in stress levels. But one thing that I haven't talked about a lot is just how good it tastes. I've had supplements and protein shakes and all kinds of other stuff that, I've tried a million different things over the years, and most of the time they don't really taste good. They're just, it's a bunch of stuff thrown together, and you might have some roots and stuff in there, and it has an odd taste. Magic Mind does not have that. I actually take it at the same time every day. I put it in my lunchbox at work, and I take it before my lunch. And my lunch is at 10:30, so I always have my Magic Mind somewhere between 9:30 and 10 every day. So, because I like to keep it cold, I like mine cold. But I look forward to it every day because it's actually almost like a treat. I don't drink soft drinks, Cokes and Mountain Dews and stuff. I don't drink those kind of things. I don't drink sugary drinks.
He doesn't drink
So
coffee either, folks.
I don't drink coffee. I hate the taste of coffee. So I was worried about the taste when I first got Magic Mind because, every other supplement I've ever had didn't taste good. But Magic Mind was a change from that. And I'm just going to drink it here real quick. It's so good. It's actually refreshing and definitely better cold. I enjoy them cold, but I mean, all the health benefits that this thing gives you, it's stress-free focus and it boosts your cognitive abilities. It decreases stress, decreases anxiety. I absolutely love using this Magic Mind. And they say that the more you use it, the better the effects. And I got to say that that's probably pretty accurate because I've been taking it for about 2 months now and absolutely love it.
Well, the good folks at Magic Mind have been kind enough to offer a special code for our listeners. So if you are interested in trying this out, Dewey, what's the where should they go? What should they look at?
If you go to www.magicmind.com/WDW20, then you get a exclusive discount that you only get for being a listener to this show. You get a 20% off discount of your monthly subscription to Magic Mind. And I'm telling you, give it a try. You will not be disappointed. All right, fellas, so let's go ahead and head on over to the next segment of our show. This is what we like to call What's Happening Around Walt Disney World. And I just saw this a couple of days ago online. I wanted to just maybe chit-chat about it real quick. Work is now underway on removing the large basketball wraparound mural covering the outside of the building down in Disney Springs for the very short-lived NBA experience. So you guys know what for a little while was the NBA experience. Before that, for many years, it was Disney Quest. And they dropped in the NBA experience and it was paused because of the pandemic and didn't open until a couple of years later. And then when it did open, it opened to very sluggish attendance. And I didn't go in it. Actually, I was supposed to go in it. We went on our trip right before the pandemic started, and we were down there in December of 2019. I don't know if you guys remember when I dislocated my knee and tore my meniscus back in 2019. So when we went in December, I was in a full leg immobilizer. So my leg couldn't be bent, so I couldn't go into the NBA experience. They were doing a cast member preview, and as you know, my father-in-law is a cast member, so he took my kids in, and so they got to experience the NBA experience, but I did not. And they liked it, but they also did it for free. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, I think it was like a $35 or $40 admission fee for the NBA experience. And basically, you got to go in and test your skills kind of against, NBA stars and stuff and shoot baskets and stuff. They said it was fun. They spent about an hour in there. And, so I guess that's great if you have an hour to blow, but not for $40. $40 seems kind of steep for an hour. And maybe it was a draw for big NBA fans. My family's not really a big NBA family. So, and I guess it didn't really do well because it's already been closed. I think it was only after the pandemic, it opened for about a year. And they decided to shutter it sometime last year. And so they've started to dismantle the NBA experience. So I know you guys didn't ever go check it out, but what do you think? What would you put in its place? It's a really big location. And remember, Disney Quest was in that footprint and it was gigantic. It was five floors or whatever, but it's down there, right across the street from the House of Blues and right next door to La Nuba, the Cirque du Soleil fan, whatever, the circus show. So, if you guys were putting on your Imagineer hats, what would you put in this location since now they are officially pulling apart, at least pulling off the NBA marketing stuff off of the NBA experience? What would you like to see go there? Have you guys been to Disney Springs? Have you spent much time down there? What do you think about Disney Springs and what do you think you'd like to see go in there?
This last trip, we spent a day there, and it's much more. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. It's where they used to have a parking lot. They now have a five-tier, I think, parking garage that is 100%, not 100% full, but it's full. I mean, you've got it, so there's a lot more people there than there used to be there when you're visiting. And so it's crowded, but it's much more high-end mall than it is Disney at this point.
That's
And
true. There are a lot of like Under Armour stores and Levi stores and stuff like that.
well, they even have brands that you don't really see, at least I don't see, in your traditional malls that are a little bit higher end or a little bit more of a genre that is unique. And though they have some of the stores that you're mentioning too, they also have a Ron John, which I thought was interesting. They
Nowhere
have,
near the beach, right?
yeah, you're not near the beach, but they have become, it's such a brand now that they could put one in Ohio and people would buy it.
That's true.
And so, but down where you're talking, they still have Cirque du Soleil, like you said, and there's some other hands-on. So you've got one end that is much more Disney, and you've still got World of Disney. You've got some of the other stores that focus on Disney, and then in between, you've got what we're talking about being high-end mall. And then at that end, you've got Cirque du Soleil and some other hands-on type activities that you can do. I think there's a bowling alley strike
Yeah,
something.
what's it called? I can't remember
It
now.
looked
It'll
like
come to me.
it could be some fun. So having something in that area that you could do that may be a little more virtual, I it's too hot. But just off the cuff, what I put there. I don't know. It definitely is an opportunity that they should come up with something very unique, though, in my opinion.
What do you think, Tony?
I think in that spot they wanted to see if they could utilize their sports connections there through when they used to have ESPN and stuff like that. I guess they could still. It was a basketball court. Is that what they turned it into?
It was an NBA experience. So there was video screens
Video
and
screens.
challenges, and they had basketball goals that were shorter, so you could dunk and just it was like you were doing challenges. You could take 3-point shots and just do all kinds of stuff like that.
Well, I think that what the part of the problem, I think that the reason Disney Quest isn't there anymore is because we now have these game systems at home that probably replaced a lot of the technology that we could see in there. But maybe they could turn that into some kind of virtual place, more virtual interactions with things. You can use a visor or something to experience different types of worlds in there. And take a movie or something home with you. I don't know. I would use it for that kind of space.
So, one, I'll tell you that the last couple of trips we've gone down there, we've haven't spent a whole lot of time in the parks. Mostly the last couple of times we've been there, we've just been visiting family and maybe spent an afternoon in the parks. We've also spent a little bit of time at Disney Springs, and it's kind of growing on me. At first, I was feeling kind of more like, outlet mall. It feels like
Yeah,
the, outlet mall,
it
although
does.
it's not cheap, but it had that outdoor walk around outlet mall feel. They've done a really good job of adding a ton of food offerings,
Yeah,
and
there's. I didn't mention that, but you could be there a week and I think not eat at every restaurant.
absolutely. We ate, I can't even remember the name of it now. I'm so forgetful sometimes, but the burger place, and I wish my wife was here, she would tell me, it was fantastic. It was really, really good. They have the sauces. I'm going to look it up while I'm talking and see if I can find it. But as far as the NBA experience, I don't know if this is a great idea. Because we just saw a sporting kind of place fail. But what I'm going to say is what I would put there, and I'll tell you why for a couple of reasons. I would put in something that is related to the world's most popular sport. And do you guys know what the world's most popular sport is?
Depends
The
on what country you
world's
call it.
baseball? No, in the world.
Soccer. Well, actually, football.
Yes, we call it
Football.
soccer. The world besides us calls it
Football.
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 FUTBOL. And I would put, first of all, like I said, it's the most, I guess, most watched sport in the world. And we know that soccer or football is really popular with Spanish people. And there's tons of Spanish people that live in Florida, come to Florida. A lot of people from Brazil come to
And
Florida.
British people.
And Europeans,
European, yeah.
absolutely. And among I mean, really the world,
The
but
world, yeah.
specifically what I'm thinking of is Europeans, Spanish, and or Latin, I guess, Latin American people. And South American people. It's really big in Brazil and Chile and all of that stuff. Not to mention, there's also a MLS, Major League Soccer team in Orlando now. And I think you could tie in the world's most popular sport with a little bit of American soccer. Try to, get, if you could get the Orlando Pride involved somehow. And do some sort of soccer attraction there, or football, depends on how you say it. That's what I would like to see there, something like that. I don't know that NBA has a big enough following to have that big multi-million dollar complex, but I do think soccer could draw people. I think, like I said, it's the world's largest, world's most watched sport, and Besides Americans, the entire world is crazy about it. And with all the visitors that come in, I bet you they could make something like that work. So yeah, that's what I would do with that space if it were me.
Not a bad
But,
idea.
and oh, by the way, that name of that burger place I was talking about is called Deluxe Burger. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. So I would definitely suggest that to you guys next time you are at Disney Springs if you want a good burger. It was really good. And my wife is gluten free. She has to stay off gluten. So they had a
Oh, she does.
really nice, yes. And they had a really nice gluten free burger with the gluten free bun and all that stuff. And they have separate and dedicated workstation to make the gluten free stuff. So it's, and she even, it was even bagged separately. And the lady that brought me my food asked who the gluten free person was. And gave it directly to her. She wouldn't even let me touch it because I guess that maybe I wasn't infected with gluten or something. Like they're very serious about keeping the gluten free. So we were very impressed with that. But the food is fantastic. So off on a little tangent there, but I wanted to mention that because it's so good. All right. So let's finish up the show today with our last segment. This segment is something that we call What's Your Favorite? Each episode, one of our hosts brings with them a question to ask the other two guys. Those two hosts don't know the question ahead of recording and must answer the question on the spot. This week, my good buddy Ron is going to take the helm of What's Your Favorite? And let's see what you got today, Ron. What do you got for us?
Yeah, absolutely. We met, I don't think so though, but if we have, we'll figure it out. We can do it again and maybe our tastes have changed. This What's Your Favorite is going to be based on food and specifically snacks around the world. And so there's going to be three to choose from. And let's say that you have the Disney dining and you have one snack point left. And you can only choose one of these to choose. So what's your favorite? And I'm not gonna give you a choice. We're just gonna throw them out there and you guys tell me what your favorite snack is at Disney. Start with you, Dewey.
Hold on, I'm looking up the name of the store. So, actually, start with Tony.
Okay. Well, actually, it's been changing lately. I realized that the last time I went to the Disney parks, I forgot to get what used to be my standby favorite, which was the Mickey bars. And I was very pleased a couple of weeks ago. The grocery store near me started selling had them on sale, so I bought a box of them and I just finished them the other night actually. And it's a nice way of remembering the park because it's little Mickey. And Ron, you were mentioning that they've gotten smaller. They're even smaller in the parks, but that was always my standby favorite. But I will say, lately I've been craving something that I had in Disneyland. I don't know if they have it in Disney World, but they must now because of Tiana's new area. But that was the Mickey beignet. I had a, it was a small. They gave you like these this package of I think two or three beignets in Mickey head. Shape, and I think they were chocolate covered, and we had those by the riverside that one day, and that was cool. That was a nice little treat, and I would love to try that again.
And those are great, by the way, over at what is
They
it
do have them at
that's
New Orleans.
what is it? It's oh my gosh, it used to be Dixie Landings, now it's the New Orleans Hotel. Why can't I remember this thing?
Port Orleans.
Port Orleans, yeah, Port Orleans. They have the beignets there.
I've got to
And
try it next time.
yes, absolutely. And they actually, we just found out again because my wife is gluten free. They have gluten free beignets there. So next time we go, we're planning on going down there and having some because the beignets are amazing.
Well, in California, there's like long lines for them. In fact, you had to stand, we stood about maybe about 20 minutes in line to get the beignets that morning. And They're very popular. Along with out there, also another big thing is the churros, which I also tried out, and I didn't like that as much as the beignet, but those are very popular Disney snacks out there.
The beignets are amazing. So yes, Tony, you can get them at Walt Disney World also over there at Port
Cool.
Orleans. So for me, and I actually had to Google it, not Google it, but I had to look it up because I just call it the ice cream place in France because I can't pronounce it. But over at Epcot in the World Showcase Pavilion, back towards if you pass the entrance to Impressions to France, the movie there. So the opposite side of where Remy's Ratatouille is now, if you're walking up towards Impressions to France and you make a left, back in that little pathway, there is a little a shop, I guess you could say, that has, you know, you can buy Eiffel Towers and you can buy French
Berets.
berets. There you go. Yes, you can buy berets and stuff. And there's a bakery back there that you can get, you know, souffles and all kinds of French stuff. Right to the left of that is a really super tiny, small French ice cream shop. And I have no idea how to say it. I cannot speak French, but I'm gonna butcher it nonetheless. It's l'artisan des glaces, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. But it's the ice cream store in the France Pavilion. And I get the same thing every single time I go there. Every time I go to Epcot, I make sure I go here. And I get the same flavor. It's caramel fleur de sel ice cream, which is salted caramel. I took Spanish in high school and in college and am really bad at that, even though I had several years of it. I have zero experience with French, so please excuse my ignorance with trying to pronounce these, but salted caramel at the France Pavilion ice cream store. Always get it in a waffle cone, and it is no joke the best salted caramel I have ever had anywhere. And every time we get ice cream, I get some form of salted caramel. I'm a fanatic. So I love this. Every single time I'm at Epcot, I go get one of those. So I'm sorry I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry I can't pronounce the name of the location, but that's my favorite snack in Walt Disney World, Ron.
Awesome. By the way, since we're talking dessert at Disney Springs, we went and stood in line. Yes, another line
Oh,
to
yeah.
spend more money at a place called Gideon's.
Gideon's, yeah.
And it is, we did not get the cookie, though. That's, I guess, they're really famous for their cookies. And but their slices of cake are incredible as well. So not my favorite, but could be. It's my favorite at Disney Springs. My favorite dessert, I don't know that this will change. I just, when we were on a Disney dining, you only got so many points for snacks. And that snack could be a simple thing of popcorn and or a cookie, but I went to the bakery, I think it was the bakery, and said, I have a snack point I would like to get. What can I get here with that? And she said, well, you could get a chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwich. I'm like, that's what I want. Dude, I'm not lying. I mean, this was a meal for two people. It's big cookies with a half a gallon of ice cream and another big cookie. And it's my favorite and will be. And we weren't at Magic Kingdom, or I would definitely have had one of those. So, in lieu of that, second is the Mickey bar. And so I had a Mickey bar on this trip.
Oh, nice. You hadn't
Yeah,
let that
the
get gone.
cookie ice cream sandwiches are pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and dude, to get one on one snack point of the Disney dining plan was an absolute steal.
And even if you're buying it, I think they're like $8 or something. And when you're paying, you know, over $6 for a Mickey bar now, it's definitely more value for that that cookie ice cream sandwich.
Wait, it's $6?
You know, I really pay. Tell me, I didn't pay $6.
Mickey bars are. They may be up to $7 now, but they're over $6 for sure.
I know the pack of six at the store is like $12. It was on sale for $5 last week when I got it.
Yeah, well, you're not getting that kind of bargain in the park.
Oh, that sucks.
You're going to pay as much for one as you do for the box.
Speaking of which, have you seen they're going to start selling?
$6.25.
How much?
$6.25.
That's what I thought. I knew they were over $6.
I told you, I just drink the wine when I get go in the door and hand them my card whenever I need.
Yeah. Actually, take my money.
Yeah.
Here's my debit card, Mr. Iger.
I'm using my points for this.
Yeah.
Have you seen they're going to start selling the, I don't know if it's the same flavor, but the Star Wars blue milk in grocery stores soon?
It's vanilla flavored, which
that might be better. Did you get to try the blue milk at Galaxy?
I didn't. When I was there, I was the only time I've been. Well, I've been a couple of times, but it's been hot out.
Yeah.
And for me, when I'm hot and thirsty, I don't think, how about a big glass of milk? So. We'll try
strange,
it sometime.
Strange tasting milk. I understand that the one in the cantina is better because it's frozen, or one of the ones, either in the cantina or outside, is the frozen one, is I understand, the better tasting one.
I hear the green milk is better than the blue milk.
I've heard that too. I had the blue milk that day, but Ron, I was lost in the, just in the euphoria of Disney at that point. I was just, whatever. It's so tasty too. That was fine for me.
Yeah, a big giant glass of milk is not very, it doesn't seem refreshing to me when I'm hot and sweaty.
But I have had over there, another favorite that I've had there was the popcorn. I can't think of what they call it right now. Keta something or another. But it was it's like flavored popcorn, and it wasn't bad.
Yes, I think it's flavored with tauntaun hair.
It could be. Speaking of tauntaun hair, I intend to, by the time the show is out, this show should be out during the week of April 21st, but I intend to do something for Star Wars Day, and I'm going to look at Batuu, whether we get to get together or not. Watch our YouTube. This should be something that I'm putting together for that particular celebration.
Nice. All right. So, fellas, that just about does it for this episode of the WDW Reflections Podcast. Please find and follow us on all our social media accounts. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and now TikTok at WDW Reflections Podcast, and on Twitter or X at WDW Reflections. This podcast can currently be found and played on many podcast platforms, and we'd love it if you'd give the show a follow wherever you listen. And if you love the show, please leave us feedback on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Those positive feedbacks help the show reach a larger audience and helps us grow. Make sure you check out the website at www.reflectionspodcast.com. And don't forget, you can always message us from any of those social media accounts, or you can email us at wdwreflectionspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for reflecting on Walt Disney World memories with us on the WDW Reflections Podcast.
See you real soon.
Ollie's a wrangler for the Triple R.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yo. But he should...